we're in the book of Leviticus again. You know, it's coming from 2 Kings, the 12th chapter, and 2 Chronicles, the 24th chapter. And it was about Jehoash. I think it's in Chronicles of Judah, they technically call him Joash. So it's two different spellings of his name, J-O-A-S-H and J-E-H-O-A-S-H. But this is the one that they salvaged from Athaliah, was on the run. And we read about the two different offerings that was offered up in Kings, and I told you, there was a sin offering and a trespass offering, but in all of the offerings, Jesus Christ had fulfilled all of the offerings. So the ceremonial of the ritual aspects of the offerings are no longer that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ was sufficient. But what we have to look at, especially the elders, if you could be an elder in the church, either the elders and the ones that's teaching elders or elders that's going to be on the elder board or helping direct the church, it's really imperative that you study, that you consistently read the Bible daily. That's part of the bread that was broken for us, and when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's not necessarily our physical bread. We labor for the physical bread, but the spiritual bread, we seek God for and we study His Word to show ourselves approved. And also the elders need to know, in case a teaching elder, a preaching elder, someone in the church talks about different doctrine or come up with a different problem in there, we need to know what the law of God says about that particular thing. Because there are standards, and it has to be by the statutes, the judgments, and the precepts and decrees of God. That's what we use as our thing. So the trespass offering and the sin offering, as I was telling you, are two different offerings. The priest was the one who was to teach knowledge to the people. When you had a synagogue, I think it was required that you had 10 males, and then you could have a synagogue. But you would have to have a priest there, and the priest was different from the high priest, and was different from the prophet or whatever. But it was that they had to know the laws of God. And I'm not teaching on the sin offering tonight, but the trespass offering, which this is part three of the trespass offering. We see where it was two different offerings being given at the temple at this time that Jehoash told Jehoiada, why hadn't they repaired the breaches of the temple? And the priests were getting the money. But the priest was using their money for the upkeep, for their upkeep, for their beings, because they had no inheritance among the people, so they had to have some source of income. But that's when Jehoash took it and put an offering at the back of the temple, a bucket with a hole. They just slid the money through the hole and it fell in the bucket. And then when the bucket was full, then the people who did the repairs on the church, on the tabernacle, on the sanctuary, they filled the bucket up. You know, they went and they got the necessary supplies and paid themselves for doing the work of the temple. So you had two different offerings going on there. Some of the money that was coming into that bucket was trespass offerings, which was the largest portion of it. But some of it was the poll tax, because usually they had a poll tax in which each person had to pay. And last week when we was talking about it, but this week I'm going to tell you about the material of the trespass offering. But we have to see Christ in each and every one of these offerings. That's why the Old Testament is the foundation. It's the shadow of the New Testament. All these things are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we have to look at the Old Testament and see Christ in all of these things. Because He's that sacrifice that was offered. And He's the burnt offering, He's the peace offering, He's the meal offering. He's all these offerings, and we have to see them all in Jesus Christ. Because He did the ultimate sacrifice as our high priest. The trespass offering consisted of a ram, which was valued by a priest according to the shekel of the sanctuary. We gave you the notes on that, Leviticus 5 and 15, 18, Leviticus 6 at 6, and 19 and 21. The only exception was in the case of a leper or a Nazarite, when the offering consisted of a lamb without any mention of valuation, Leviticus 14 and 11, and Numbers 6 and 12. That was the only thing kind of evaluated. But you had to give a ram as a trespass offering. In other words, a trespass offering was costly to you. Just imagine you're a farmer or something, you in an agrarian economy, and you got herds and things, but you have to take something that's valuable as a ram out of the flock if you didn't trespass God, because, you know, those were dedicated offerings, and you didn't use something that was dedicated to God, that was holy unto God, so you had to pay for trespassing God.
Okay.
But in our prayers now, if we pray, forgive us our debtors, we forgive our debtors, it's kind of lumped in at a sin offering and the trespass offering, but they were different. In the sin offering, sometimes you couldn't repel the sin offering, but the trespass offering, it required restitution when possible. Plus, you had to add that if you were poor. Okay. So, if Jesus Christ was the lamb, that ram, he was the one that was offered as a sacrifice for our sins. He made that sacrifice for us. And so today, you don't need to go get a bull, a ram, or nothing and bring him here for me to kill him or anything. But you see, those people seeing that animal slaughtered, his throat cut there, and the blood sprinkled all over the altar and everything, that would deter sin. That gave them a conscience of just how costless it is. You have to take an animal out your flock and watch the preacher, the priest cut his throat, drain that blood, burn part of the animal on the altar, but then burn the complete animal because it wasn't a burnt offering. A burnt offering was totally burnt up when it was offered. It was totally dedicated to God. Whereas the trespass offering, it took portions out of there, and the priest took a portion. But the balance of it was for the upkeep of the sanctuary. Okay, so today, as we see Jesus Christ, our trespass offering, that's why a lot of people sin today, because they don't have faith enough to see Jesus Christ in that. When they see it, when they trespass God, when they sin against God, when they miss their mark, that you're not taking the blood of Jesus Christ seriously. You're not seeing that that's why he was crucified, for our sins, the thing we were doing. So once we saw that we were in sin, we wouldn't continue to sin. Because this would be, like to them, it would be very costly. If I sinned five times a year, that was five rams out of my flock, you know, and rams wasn't abundant in the flock, you know. You only had a few rams in a flock to keep the males in all of them together there. You know, you have a herd of a lot of females. So you would have a problem if you're losing that many males that reproduce from your herd. See, but since we don't see that going on, and a lot of us don't see Jesus on fully converted, we sin easily. We sin because we don't realize that it cost the blood of Jesus Christ for our sins and transgressions. That's why we sin so much. That's why we don't do the things that we should do, because we're not perceiving just how wicked sin is. That it required death. Okay. Leviticus 5 and 18. Let's look at this. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thine estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and he shall be forgiven. If you notice that he said he didn't know that it was sin.
Right.
That's why when we pray, we say, forgive us our trespasses. It says, it don't say that, do it? It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ comes a couple of verses after that. Matthew says, if you forgive men not their trespasses against you, your heavenly Father won't forgive you of your trespasses. See, but you notice that he wasn't asking for the forgiveness of that trespass because this was blatant sin, even though you were ignorant of it. Ignorance is no excuse. You should know what the law says. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Look at chapter 5. It says, "And a soul sin and hear the voices of swearing and is a witness whether he has seen it or known of it, do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." This is the sin offerings. And if you go on, it would be about things that you didn't have knowledge of, but that you became part of someone else's sin, and an offering had to be offered. Have you studied that chapter 5, 6, and 7? We have to study those. We have to study these things. Because, like I said, this is the foundation we're digging here. And just imagine as we grow, it's going to be other people that come in and study. And as we study, this has to be in the people's hands that are listening and that know what the law is. And that if the church get off track with a brother in sin or whatever, if something's going on, we're able to tell him, hold on, that's sin. And we can't allow that in the church. That's why I say if your brother sin against you. Because when you sin against God, you sin against the whole body of the church because we're one body. So you have to be able to know sin. It's discern sin. It's a discernment of sin. So a lot of people just go, but you have to study these things. It says study the word of God to show you self-approval, workmen that need not be ashamed. So, as we go on, Leviticus 6 and 6, "And he shall bring his trespass offering." All these is about bringing the trespass offering into the congregation. But that's because you were ignorant of the word of God, the reason you sinned. And at the time of our ignorance, it says God winked. But now he's requiring this of us because we should have a knowledge of sin. If we in the church and says we know Jesus Christ, he says the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. And that he that, what, is born of God said it not, for he keepeth himself. That means you have to study the word, take his yoke upon you, and learn of him so that you won't sin against him, that you know what God requires. God came in today, I was washing clothes at the washing area. A guy came in there and, you know, three or four people with two guys were sitting next to me, you know, women saying, but he actually said, "Look," and looking at me, if I wasn't in it, either if he was talking to somebody else and not me, I might not have said nothing, but he says he directed it to me. And I'm always praying for God to give me an opportunity to glorify God. But he said, "Well, I got a couple of cases of honey buns. I'm willing to get rid of for $1 to $2 a case." I said, "Well, do you have a receipt for those honey buns?" He got all mad and said, "Well, you have a receipt for that phone?" I said, "Well, no, I'm not trying to sell that phone. That iPhone is not for sale, you know. But you're trying to sell those in God with a discernment spirit. Well, why are you trying to sell cases of honey buns for little or nothing? You must have stole that. If you bought those for him, if someone's selling food stamps off of a food stamp card, or someone sells you something, the lawyers you receive is stolen goods. So you partake of another man's sin. And you're guilty of that sin. That's why you have to know." And he got all upset and everything. But I had to stay with him because, hold on, you must be of Satan because you came, you know, I didn't tell him that. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, you remember I said you have to judge, but don't pass judgment?
Right.
But the reason I was asking, did he have a receipt? Because the devil's going to come to steal and rob or try to cause you to lose salvation or cause you to sin. Well, that's sin. And you trying to cause me to sin, whether I knew that it was stolen or not or whatever, I'm still partaking of that sin. But God gave me sense enough. That's why when we read that thing from Daniel, when he says he gave Daniel wisdom, knowledge, and all this that excelled everybody else. Wisdom contains knowledge and understanding.
And we as the church have to have knowledge and understanding and a certain amount of discernment. God gives the, that's a gift in the church, the discerning of spirits, because those spirits try to get you to commit sin. That's what happened with Joash, that the princes came to him and they caused him to turn his back on God, because he should have at once required their death or something, because they was trying to turn him from the Lord thy God. Even if it's your wife, your mother, your sister, your aunt, or whatever, you have to turn them, because God says you have to hate all this to love me. So you have to, when sin approaches you, you have to resist the devil, and God calls him the fiend. He gives you great grace. But you have to know what God's word says about these laws or whatever. So if you look at the material that was offered, that it was going to cost you something for these sins. And in other words, now that you didn't have to take a ram, but you found out that yesterday you took someone somewhere or whatever, and it was a problem, they was going to do something, say you took somebody and dropped your law, but he was going to another man's wife's house, or he was going to do something that was wrong. When you became part of him, when you studied God's word and everything, and you find out, Lord, you know, I'm just full of sin. I see how sinful I am. That's what Paul was. He was a Pharisee, and he was saying, it's touching the law blameless, and he was saying how much he, but later on in his ministry, he came to the fact to say, I'm the chiefest of sinners, because as you study the word of God, you see just how much sin that you committed. God, I didn't study the word of God today. Okay, hold on now. You pray a prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But then God provide the word, he provide the Bible for you, but you get up and not read the Bible. You not study the Bible today, but yet still you pray and give us this day our daily bread. How can I give you your daily bread if it's here and you won't read it? You ask him for something, I give you every day. Many of people died for the right during the Roman Catholics when it was first Roman the Catholic, when the priest first had the Bible, the common man wasn't allowed to read the Bible. So a lot of people gave their lives for the right for us, for each individual to be able to read the Bible, to take communion, to do these things. But we take it for granted. We're using the grace of God in vain, that people died, gave precious blood for you to be able, you go into China or Russia or some of these other countries and try to bring a Bible in some places. You lose your life because you try to convert people, you pushing your religion. The Bible that gets you killed in many places. When we have Bible that we tear the pages off, we lay it aside, God's word is laying there getting dusted. How much are you transgressing God here in that you said that you will go into covenant with God? These people, Jehoash and the rest of the congregation, had covenanted and they were going to follow God. But now they're forsaking the house of God. It's in God's word, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves together. Well, what comes up on Bible study night, on prayer night, on church service night, that's more important to God, that you know his word says, when you forsake God, the assembling together of yourself, you being disobedient, you trespass against God. Now, you can't bring a bullock or whatever. So that's why a lot of people try to give to God, because they see how much God is giving to them. People that do these things, when people miss a lot of church services, when people don't put in offerings, when people don't, you can see faith in faith. You can see faith. Peter was able to see the man. Paul was able to see the man laying by the gate called Beautiful, and that he had the faith to be healed. You can see faith because faith has works. A faith without works is dead faith. So it's a lot of people take God for granted and they trespass against God, and they're not offering up, they're not paying back what they had covenanted with, and Jesus Christ's blood is gone for vain. He's been shed his blood because what? You're continuing it in sin. You continually to do the things that he died for you to put you in proper communion with God. That he shed his blood, that the veil would be removed, that you didn't have to go through a high priest or nothing like that. You could come boldly to the throne of God, petition God, that you can lay down every morning, every night, or whatever time you want, and whether you lay down and pray, kneel down and pray, stand and pray, however you prostrate yourself to pray to God, that you can boldly petition God with prayer and supplication. Jesus Christ died to open up that avenue, but how often do we pray? How often do we talk and communicate with God? How many times do churches get together for corporate prayer? I mean, as a church, get together should be prayer nights. See, not just individuals, but because of the grace of God. God's been giving us so much, but we spend more time in front of the television and pursuing our own thing that we trespass against God. God's constantly forgiving us, but we're not in turn realizing that we're letting their sacrifice. That's why God said he wasn't accepting their sacrifice. They don't bring me no more burnt offering. Don't bring me, don't sacrifice me. If you have all against your brother, leave your gift and get right with God before you come, get right with your brother before you come to the altar. Well, if you continually to sin, you're taking the blood of Jesus Christ, you're taking this cheap grace or cheap something, and that's why the church is powerless today. They have a form of godliness, but there's no power there because the spirit is willing, but it's weak. A lot of them don't even have the spirit they're professing because they don't see that sacrifice that was offered for them, that they're not fulfilling their portion of the covenant, and that he spilled his blood for nothing for you. So it must have not been for you because you hadn't accepted that which he had given you. That's why he says, if you eat none of this, you have no part with me. He said, unless you eat my flesh, read the Bible. His flesh is bread and meat. His body was broken for us. So unless we eat of his flesh, that mantle that come down from heaven, he said, Moses didn't give you that. I'm that bread that coming down. In me is life. So if you're not hungry and thirsty and being fed on his word, then you're not accepting what's going to give you eternal life. You have no life in you. You're not going to grow spiritually. If you start seeing how big a sinner you are, how much you trespass in God, then you present your body to him, therefore, as a living sacrifice, which you said would be your reasonable service. Let me give my little miserable life because he laid down his life for me. So I need to die to self. I need to die daily because he made the ultimate sacrifice to place me in the state I'm in today. But a lot of us don't care. We don't care that Jesus did that for us. Well, yeah, he died for my own Christians and everything. He'd give a little bit here, a little bit there. But he says, those that do the will of my Father, if you love me and if you're my disciple, you're continuing my word. We're not continuing in the word of God. And the preachers are the problem for that because they're not telling the people. As a watchman, you're going to die and go to hell because you're not fulfilling your part of the bargain. You breached the contract. That politician that had some sin, and it's been in the news lately, and they had a gag order on it where neither one of the parties was supposed to talk about this settlement that they had came to, and that he was accused of some stuff, and the other parties and everything, they couldn't say anything because the court had put a gag order you couldn't talk about. But he got on television and said, well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that and everything. So now the other side, they're on television saying this and that. Why? Because he breached the contract because he said something that made it look like that they wasn't telling the truth. So now they can tell their side the gag order shouldn't count now because he breached the contract. So we breached the contract with God. So that means he didn't die for us. You see, the life that's going to work for God, and going to say, Lord, Lord, did we do all this in your name? I never knew you because you didn't have fellowship with me. You was in the church, but you continually transgressed me. You forgive us our trespasses. And God's the kindness of God should lead us to repentance, but instead to call a work against a sinful. Ecclesiastes has that. Because God doesn't act on it at that moment, we continue on in sin. See, God's not sending bolts of lightning down like he did to Elijah, Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, when they offered up the strange stuff. He's not striking us dead like Ananias and Sapphira. To show you, those were the examples to us that God takes this very seriously. We were saying not taking God seriously. But see, he had given us a choice. He said, choose life. Now, if we walk down another road, and we don't willingly submit to the will of God, to his word, we're not going to be washed and cleansed, because the only way we washed and cleansed is by the word of God. And if we are raw priesthood, the priest was required to wash them. So he told Peter, if I wash these not, you have no part with me. The word is what cleanses us, and a lot of us never read this Bible till we get ready to come to church. We can take 2 or 3 minutes to read it, or while we're doing something else, we get a lull at watching TV, we at work and we read 2 or 3 scriptures, and that's not how to read the word of God. God says he wants the first fruit. Well, if God gives you 24 hours a day, he wants the first fruit. He wants the best portion. You trespass even reading the Bible. Because he wants the first fruit. He wants the best part of the day for that fellowship. He used to come in fellowship with Adam in the cool of the evening. At the best time of the evening. See, because it was reckoned for different things. The evening and the morning was the first day during biblical times, if you look at it. The evening and the morning. And he used to come in there with the cool of the evening, right? So it was the first thing that day he would come and talk with Adam. Adam would get directions from him for that day, what he needed to do to please God. See, we should be looking to please God. Our life should be that sacrifice that we offered up, just like he offered up his life for us. We, in turn, have to offer up our life for him. But we selfish. We live our lives for ourselves. We live our lives and say, I can't make it tonight. I got me and my friends got to do this. Me and my wife got to do this. I got overtime to do. I got so much to do. God's pushed to the side. But it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. The trespass offering being prescribed for special sin are not included in the general festival sacrifices. They were offered for the following offenses. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of God, Leviticus 5 and 15. Through ignorance. You know, watch this. That's why I say ignorance of the law is no excuse. It says, in the soul sin through ignorance, 5 and 15, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance of the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, without estimation of the shekel of the silver, out of the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. So like I said, we don't need to do that now because it will what? Fulfill in Jesus Christ. Right? So if we will accept, and if God accepted that trespass offering, if he accepted that offering that Jesus offered as his body, in turn, look at the chastise, that's what Romans is about. It's doctrinal. It's one of the most complicated chastises of Paul that he had, the 12th chapter of Romans. And that's why it starts off with a therefore, because he's talking about since Christ had did all these things in the previous foregoing chapters, what all he had did for us, I beseech you, therefore, because of all this, and what I said and discussed about you and quoted from the Old Testament, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't bring a ram up, because the ram's been offered already. That blood, everything's been atoned for. All you got to do is walk therein. Walk in the ways of God. Do my English. Walk with God. How can two walk together unless they're in agreement? Now, he's not going to walk with us. We have to walk with him. God is my co-pilot. No, God's the pilot. You're the co-pilot, if anything. He's always the head, never the tail. He's never the sidekick. We're the sidekicks. We have to make a choice. We are bondservants of Jesus Christ. So, as we walk with Christ, he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That body is no longer yours. It has to be what? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just as that ram had to be without blemish, we need to be without spot or blemish. In other words, we need to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We can't offer it to him drunk. We can't offer it to him with our minds on something else. He wants our whole heart. He wants the whole heart. And he has that heart if he's performed the circumcision on you and giving you a new heart. But the problem with most of us, we haven't had that heart removed. We're a professor of God, but we're not a follower of God. See, that's what happened with all these people that say they did this and did this, because their heart wasn't with God. They only with their mouths. But their action, their faith wasn't there. See, it was, that's what Jehoash, he didn't have faith in God. As long as Jehoiada was alive, he followed God because Jehoiada was there. He was propped up on Jehoiada's faith. Just like a lot of people now, they're living a certain way because of their parents or because of they around this person. They go to church because their friends go to that church. It's a lot of people, they don't get nothing out of the church, but that's where their friends go. That's where their children go. That's where all over there. And this is what's cool about this church. We can do this and we can do that. And they're learning the word of God. If those people that go to different churches or whatever, something happened to their pastor, they would leave off from following God. Just like Jehoash, he left off from following God. Because his mind wasn't bent and he didn't have faith in God. That's your reasonable service, he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. We have to. See, we're not doing that. It's all about us. We come, and for those that come to church, I'm going to get my hair down over the aisle in, and they go. They don't think about what they've read. They don't go back and study it. The preacher has to struggle so hard because he's trying to teach them the word of God, and that's the only time he has, because they didn't come there, study it up, and have questions about this. And I've been doing this and praying on this all week and studying on this all week. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if they would have just tried a little bit, that's why it says at the revelation of Jesus Christ, you really have no need of no man to teach you. The Spirit teach you. If you're seeking after God, he's been revealing himself to you in his word. He's been giving you a taste of the heavenly calling. And all the preacher do is get there and inspire you in the word of God and bring out or help stir up that which is in you. That means a heart that's seeking after God, seeking the answer, a broken spirit that's seeking to find God. But see, we seeking to find everything in the world and think that you will come in here an hour or 2 hours a week and that you will be a good Christian. No. It has to be 24 hours a day. Like I was saying about in the watching, you have to look for opportunities to let your light so shine. But people are constantly hiding their light because they're conforming to the world. Ignorance of the transgression of any definite prohibition of the law. You had to offer an offering, Leviticus 5 and 17. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to do by the commandments of the Lord. So somebody, someone and told him you didn't sin. See, but he should have known what sin was. See, that's what we're failing at. We're not going to the priest, in other words. And we're supposed to be a royal priesthood. In other words, what we're learning here, we're supposed to be out teaching other people. That's why it says do the work of evangelists. How many of us being fruitful going out to teach this to other people? Are most of us on the job or in our work, in the and you'll do this. But Samson was a Nazarite. I just read about the offerings of the Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite. Did you not mean you would tell me he wasn't supposed to do that? The Bible said, reveal not everything in your heart to her that lays in your bosom. Samson got his eyes put out because he sinned against God. God left him and he didn't know it. He was still running around like a lot of these people in the church today, thinking they're strong and thinking God's with them and God's left them, and they don't know God's gone. Because you broke the covenant, God said, I'll never leave you. But what happened, he said, your sins, your iniquity has separated you from me. God can't dwell in an unclean temple. That's why he tells quench not the spirit, or grieve not the spirit. Some of us don't have a job grieving the spirit because somebody tell you, oh, you ought to come to church with us, this, day, that. But no, I don't worship. And this is what the Bible says. This is the day, this is when we should be going to church. This is what I do, this and that. Well, you just go along with it. You know, I might come in there, and you had a chance then to tell people what thus says the Lord. You had a chance to teach. You had a chance for the light to so shine. But you hid your light. You hear the truth God has given you. You know why you're sitting in the church. A lot of people know things, but you just can't get it out. Well, God said, pray for boldness. Paul was praying for boldness that he didn't go open his mouth and speak. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but we go around afraid of man. The fear of man is a snare. We're transgressing God in all these prohibitions. So we should learn what sin is. If I was serving someone. If you got a wife or a husband, don't you try to learn everything that makes him or her mad, that spouse mad, so you don't do those things? Yeah. Don't you try to learn with that spouse love so you do that the things that spouse loves? So why don't we try to learn what God hates? Because God said, I hate sin. David said, Lord, teach me to hate those that you hate. Why does God say that Jacob I loved, Esau I hated? Esau was a profane man. He stole his birthright. He thought lightly of that God had given him the birthright, the inheritance, the blessing, and he stole it for a bowl of pottage. He ate it and got up and walked off. He hadn't even thought of what he had given away. We don't think of each day what we're giving away that belong to God. The God has given you the material for the sacrifice. Then David said, I would sacrifice none to the Lord that wouldn't cost me something. But not only providing the sacrifice, as God told Abraham, he said, I myself is going to provide a sacrifice. He provided for the lamb. He didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. But God wanted to see his faith. Was he going to trust and believe God? God had already had a lamb prepared. So when God prepared this lamb and gave this lamb as our sacrifice, if we see that, if we could start to be inspired and be born again and see just how much Jesus did for us, we'll be willing for to settle on. We'll be willing to be friendless because I got a friend that says he's going to be my friend when I don't have any friends at all. I got somebody that's going to be a husband when I don't have a husband. I got somebody that's going to be a wife when I don't have a wife. See, he's not going to never leave you. Him and the Father will come in and suck with us. But see, that's the reason we cry, because our wife did this, our spouse did this, our children hurt our feelings. I got mad at work because he did me this and he did me that. Well, you might try my God. He'll give you peace that no man, that means your wife, your children, nobody on your job can take that peace. He'll give you joy. Nobody can take that joy. Don't care how they feel. God's given you something that's eternal and no man can take it away. You can give it away. Because you allow this to happen, what you allow, whom you yield yourself servants to, him, that's who your master is. You should have mortified your body. so you wouldn't obey sin and the lust thereof. That person had become an idol to you because that person had came before God. That's why we always go around be sorry and crying and got kind of problems and everything. Because we rejected the sacrifice that God had given us, the one that he said, by his stripes we were healed. The one that had given us all things. We had rejected that sacrifice. See, because if you started to realize what Jesus did for you, you would see that I'm going to offer up my body as a living sacrifice because he's giving me eternal life. He said, if I lose that life, if I crucify myself, that's what the sacrifice had to be killed. See, that's how bad death is. You have to see a death to self. You have to die daily. It's not what you want, not what your wife wants, not what your husband, your children, and what does God want? Not my will, but God. What does he want to require of me? God, you lead me this day. It's not how I can direct. It's not his man to direct his steps. The Lord leads and guides me. That's my shepherd. I shall not want. But we follow the dictates of man. We conform to this world. That's why. We in ignorance, a lot of them, because God's not giving you any life because that he had given you, you've given that to the dogs. They're trampling underfoot. The birds of the air had taken it away from you. You had learned words, and God then allowed you to go out there, and you hid it. You wasn't bold enough to stand up and remain steadfast, immovable in the faith, and now someone has you crowned you. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll live and not bar. We don't have faith to follow God. Jehoiakim didn't have faith to follow God. He stood for God in some things and building and rebuilding the tabernacle. But when you stand for God, the devil will come in another way. God will consistently build you up and build you up. It's only you that can tear yourself down. That's where the waters come from within you. It says, he shall bear his sin, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. You know, a lot of people, oh, the country going on, this going on in the country. You transgress God because this guy that you voted for, you didn't read the paper. A lot of people today, they got all kinds of things that are lying there and everywhere where you wouldn't be illiterate. You can study and read. You can hear. It's pursued. Well, if you voted for this person and put him off in office, you're just as guilty as he is because he's representing you. See, the people got Saul as king. That's who the people wanted for king. You rejected God. You put this man in here. The leader is just a reflection of the people. So when they're opposed, when there's elections in vain, you have to watch who you vote for. You have to do it with faith, with guidance from God, and with right intentions and motivations. And then God judges in the matter. So we have to walk circumspectly. That's why I say you have to be careful in all things. Because a lot of us are empowering antichrists. You know, you empowering these different antichrist spirits. If this person's preaching this, I'm going to go to church with my friends here. I'm going to go to this church over here. Where that person and y'all have contrary doctrine, somebody's doctrine's wrong and somebody's right. They both can't be right if they're preaching two different things. They're teaching two different things. And both of them could be wrong. But there is a way. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way and the life. But there is a broad way. But you go to that church. I just go there to visit. Did you put any money in there? Well, you help and empower because God had given you stewardship of that money. And you took that money and given it to someone that's not following God. Tell you what, let your spouse go out and say, well, what's called needs some money down there? Give us some money. And your wife say, well, he needs some money. Well, no. If you had extra money, that belonged in the house. You could have did something. You know, your wife could be happy you give another woman some money. I was just helping you. You're my wife and everything, but I was just helping her. No, it ain't going to work out that way. You go over to Burger King and eat, but you go pay Jack in the box. Jack said, well, no, we can't do that. See, that's why a lot of churches, a lot of preachers didn't realize that they're bringing a curse upon themselves. So they say, well, look, don't pay your tithes here. You pay at your church first. Don't put your, you know, give to your church first and then give here. And people come here. But you kind of, you know, you have to be careful with that, man. You got to make sure God's in that, what you're doing, because yes, your presence there. Somebody, Paul said, if somebody see me in a temple that worship idols or whatever, they'll get the wrong expression. I'm helping empower that doctrine. All that's trespassing God, see, because the people were worshiping Baal and God. God said, well, you can't do that. So we have to be careful because our body is not our body. We have to watch trespassing God. And those are things, he says, holy. See, that has to be fair. That has to be without spot or blemish. Your life can't be tainted with all these things. All this has to be purged out of you. The only way you could purge it out of it is you know the Word of God. And the Word of God is the only thing that could wash you and cleanse you from sin. That's why David says, purge me, wash me with hyssop. See, to make your sins white, to wash your garments, you have to put on Christ. That's how you obey God. You put Christ on. But that means you have to take other things off.
So that's the same reason why Peter said, wash not only my feet, wash my body. And he said, no, wash that of your feet.
Well, Peter didn't understand what's going on. That's why when he said, what? He said, well, no, if you already, he that is washed, he not to wash, save his feet. In other words, you have to keep communion with me. You have to keep humbling yourself to me and allowing me to put the finishing touch on you. Well, that's the fellowship. That's why if Adam decides to say, well, look, I'm going to meet you there the next day, well, you would have missed communion with God because if he said that day was the Sabbath, that was the day of worship, and you choose your own day, we say, well, no, this is the day I hallowed it. This is the day that I made holy. This was my day of rest. So I'm not going to work on these days and go on your day. You do it on my day. See, we're trying to make God do what we want. We want to shape and fashion God in our image instead of doing it the way he said. His word never changed, so what he gave us in Genesis is going to be true in Revelation. I changed not. What man's going to tell you in the philosophy of men and things, instead of allowing that division to come when it comes. And a lot of people, well, I'm not going to get into that because things have to happen, and sometimes some things has to come to an end because neither party will be happy. When you acquiesce to something, a compromise, a lot of times all you're doing is delaying something that's going to come. We can't delay some things. Another transgression was fraud, a suppression of the truth, a perjury against a neighbor with compensation or with the addition of a fifth part of property in question to the person wrong. In other words, when you lie about something, Ananias and Sapphira lied about what they was giving or whatever, and it wasn't the idea that they didn't, how much they gave, it was the idea that they lied about it. They committed fraud. When you lie about something, or you hold down suppressing the truth, which is going on today. A lot of people are holding the truth back. They love not the truth. They're not allowing the truth to come forward and perjure against a neighbor. If you see something happens and they call you to court to testify of that, you're supposed to testify of that. See, and that's why they got this thing out people, I mean, snitching and this and that there. Well, you didn't have to cover something up and see the world and God's are somewhere people are killing the witness and this and that there because the world has gotten all course with God. It started with Cain. Because God, he said, well, where are your brother at? Well, you lied. They said, I'm not my brother's keeper. Well, you lying. You know you didn't kill it. Well, you didn't come confess that. When Jesus was in that praetorium, and the high priest was questioning him. What did he say? Are you the Son of God? Jesus didn't say that. What did the high priest say? I adjure you. And he said, what thou sayest, that I am. See, because then he had the answer because he was forsworn when the priest assured him. We can't hold back on speaking on a matter that's to commit sin. See, that's what the world is today. That's why we have so many problems in the court. See, because that's what was the thing about this political thing that I was talking about. They wanted to suppress the truth. They said, well, we got gas, but we can't nobody talk about it. Well, hold on now. You have to lead the nation. If you will be our leaders and things, we don't need to know the truth about this. We need to hear both sides of this matter. You know something? You speak it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let everything be confirmed in the Sabbath. Let us know what's going on. Because you say that she's lying and she's saying you lie. We need to know what's going on. You can't hide this thing under a gun. You can't hide this under a rock. Before I vote for you, I need to know whether you did this or not. There's a coach in the news that's been a coach at this university for 45 years. He's seen something happen in 2002. Somebody told him about it. He's going to lose his job. One of them, man, it hurt me. It hurt me. Because I used to follow a whole lot of the things. But hold on, you knew about this? And you in the head, you the head coach? And you didn't say anything? And the people saying, well, he said he'll retire in a year. No, they saying he needs to go now. Because you can't call your terms in America. You transgress. You have to pay the ultimate penalty. You have to, this got to be compensated for you. Now they saying that they need to compensate these people. Because that was all for transgression. And you knew he had to pay about it now. You see, that's what the world consistently do. Corrupts it. The Bible exposes, says, Jesus says, there's nothing that's done in the dark that won't come to the light. But you hear in your bed, it'll be springing out on the rooftop. It'll be spoken out on the rooftop. Because David, you hear this thing, you tried to cover this thing up, and you murdered Uriah. But since you did this, David, I'm going to have your enemy to sleep with your wife on the rooftop in the front of everybody. Holy Israel will see this happen. Huh? And you see, a restoration was taken according to Leviticus 6 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul will sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him, a kept in fellowship, or in a thing taken by violence, or had deceived his neighbor, or had found that which was lost and lied concerning it, or swear it falsely, in any of these things that a man do it, saying thereof, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently, or the thing which he had deceitfully got, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the loss which he found, or all about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in principle, and shall add the fifth part thereunto it, and give it unto him to whom it appertained in the day of his trespass offering. And Paul explained it to him when something happened in the church. We have to deal with these situations. Well, they're leaving the whole lot. And if our sacrifice, we forgive trespasses and everything, but we can't continue in sin, we have to confess it and turn from it and suffer the ultimate price. The consequences are there. You may not lose your salvation, but you'll lose that which you used to build with that. That's why you have to humble yourself and pray to God. The next one was rape of a patriotic slave. Boy, I'm keep on with this politician tonight, looks like. Rape of a patriotic slave, in this day we would say employee. You know, you hold it over their job status, or you're doing this or whatever. And if you go on and read Leviticus 19, chapter 20 through the 22nd verse about this was a trespass offering. And then read the different cases that you see involved. As we go on, and as you see, that's why they say elders in a church invites or ordain young people because a younger person has their life. Like I said, I was talking to my son earlier. They had went down to watch the Saints game, and they, you know, while he was outside the stadium, they watched the LSU game or whatever. But see, as you get older and have more time for the Lord, there's a lot of young people that dedicate themselves to God. But it says, don't anoint or lay hands on a novice or make him a minister or elder. That's why, you know, if I'm going to ordain somebody to be a deacon or a minister in the church or an elder in the church, it's just like David, anything else in the Bible. You have to go through a time of testing and proving to see that, because once you put somebody in, that's a permanent thing that you've done. Whether that person turns out good or bad, it's done. You know, that's why when preachers are anointed or whatever, whether they're a false prophet or a true prophet, they still have to preach. You read Jeremiah, that false prophet couldn't just stop preaching. He had to continue in that. But if you even just, false preachers, if you read Jeremiah, you see where God says that they still have to preach his word.
Yeah.
Even if they're not right, they have to continue to preach his word. Number 6 and 12 says, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation. Oh, this is about that Levite still. He shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because the separation was defiled. That's why God says in Ezekiel, said, if a man do righteousness all his life, and then at the end of 45 years doing good in this job of profession, you turn and do something evil, all that righteousness you have done will be wiped out. He's going to forget about that. If a wicked man turned from his wicked ways and started to do right, then the wickedness be turned away. So if you do it right off, see, it's how long, he says, and see, Jesus says, he that endureth until the end shall be saved. So, I mean, you have to endure not unto death, but not until death, but unto death. In other words, you have to go through death sometime. It might cost you your life. But he says, if you lose your life for his sake, you're safe. So don't let that be the stopping point, you know. When he said, it will kill me, I ain't going to die for nobody. Well, you got a problem there, you know. That might have been your cross to bear right there. It might have been the end of the road that you're in now. When Hezekiah prayed for those other 15 years, he did more bad during that time. And he gave birth to Manasseh, his son, during that time, one of the worst kings that sat on the throne of Israel. See, sometimes when God calls the end of the road for us, we need to let that be the end of the road. God knows what's best for us, but we always want more, more, more. Let's not direct God. Let God direct us and lead us and guide us. The daily sacrifice. We should, as priests of God, offer daily sacrifices, as the Apostle Paul mentioned. Now, it's not the sacrifices that was offered up daily in the Old Testament. Those were examples for us. See, and that was a bloody situation and caused a lot. But you saw how bad sin was, but it didn't remove the guilt of your conscience. You need to be able to take the guilt off of your consciences. And Jesus is the only thing, his blood is the only thing to remove guilt. That's why he says there's no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. See, usually a person's own heart convicts them. And some people's conscience that's been seared, they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. They'll never be able to realize or see the evil because they've fought against the truth. They've known the truth and turned from it, and God turned them over to defiled passions. A lot of them go into homosexuality and lesbianism, or bestiality. They go so far off the path because they've been turned over to their own desires. That which is, and we know that it's no good in no man. There's only one good, that is God. So that part of God that was in them, they crucified that portion of it instead of crucifying the old man. See, Paul said, "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what it advantage me if the dead rise not?" It wasn't tigers and lions Paul was fighting against. Remember I told you symbolism in the Bible, and you have to take it in the context and how the Lord's revealing it spiritually. These were governmental systems. These were people that Paul was struggling with. Evil people. You see where the beast can be the beast of the field, which could be worldly people, that's evil. He could have been at this time talking about that, like people like one place he named Alexander the Coppersmith, and he named a lot of different things. And sometimes it's governments that are beasts. If we look in Revelation, some of the beasts are governmental systems. In Daniel, the book that you read, open up, the beast in that, the four different beasts, the lion, the leopard, all these was different governmental systems. Different political systems. So Paul was saying this is what he fought against at Ephesus. And a lot of these people were Christian people that were trying to bring people back under the curse of the law. You remember his letter to the Ephesians? And the same thing happened in Galatia. He says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let us just go out with everybody else and party and everything till we die," if that's the case. Like I say, Peter said a lot of people wrestle with the epistles of Paul because it's hard to understand some of the analogies. This was a hyperbole Paul was saying coming out of the book of Isaiah about the people saying that God will not do nothing. So we can eat, drink, and die. We'll just rise up tomorrow and do the same thing over again. They're not thinking about life and serving a true and living God. He says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners." In other words, these people that's telling you the Lord is getting away with, these people that's telling you that you don't have to do the obey the commandments of God, the laws of God, these people that say that you can live in pleasure, the Bible tells you he that liveth in pleasure is dead while yet he liveth. See, because that's all they do, live to have a good time. But St. Paul said he wanted to know Jesus in his suffering. He wanted to get to know him. That was the only way. And it was going to be a sacrifice. He wasn't going to be able to do that which he wanted. He wasn't going to be able to run with the people he used to run with. He wasn't going to be able to go to the nightclubs and dance and go to New Orleans and party and go to his place and gamble and do all these things because not my body is not mine. And I have to watch what I do with my body. I have to watch what I even have to watch all the people because it says even talking, communicating with the wrong people, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Here you go again, sin not. Now that's a big prohibition there. Because when Jesus saved a woman that was caught in adultery, he didn't tell her, "Well, go to church and do this or whatever." He says, "Go and sin no more." So that was a big duty up on her shoulders at that time. Because she was going to have to get converted. She was going to have to become a disciple. She was going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. Because with all that, without all of that, without becoming this disciple, it would be impossible for her not to sin anymore. She wound up and said, "Who can sin without following Christ?" You can't help but to sin. Paul wrestled with that in the book of Romans. We're not going to get there tonight. We'll have to see that for another time. He says, awake to righteousness. Now see, Christ imputes righteousness unto us, just like it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness because he believed God. That's when God gave him circumcision, after he did that. So even though Jesus Christ imputed righteousness unto us, we have to end up walking in him and obeying him to develop that character. That doesn't make us righteous. When you impute something to somebody, you place that upon that person, but that still hadn't changed the character of that person or what that person did. You have to then work out your own salvation. You have to walk as a process and refine that character and purge yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. That's how you awake to righteousness. You can't continue to sin. He says, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame. See, this was the Corinthian church. A lot of people said this church didn't make it. This was the one that had all the spiritual gifts that was biting and devouring one another. They were carnal. We don't hear too much from this church after this. And the second letter to the Corinthians was a letter of a consistent rebuke. And we hear the third letter, it might have not been inspired, you know, a lot of commentators and scholars say, because this is the one that they say was lost or whatever. It might have been God just chose not to allow us to see it. But by us being fallible men also, everything that that Paul wrote wasn't necessarily inspired by God. You could do a lot for God, you know, do a lot of things, but sometimes that doesn't mean God inspired it. Mm-hmm. See, so we can't say Peter was in contradiction when Paul rebuked Peter for eating with the Gentiles. That's why I say we see how that if they sin, and those were apostles, then we can sin also. That's why we have to take heed to ourselves. Yeah, Peter was wrong. He caused a division. And he was telling the Gentiles, the Jews, to live a certain way. But he lived that same way. He was being a hypocrite. And Paul said, I stood him to his face and told him, Peter, how can you preach this and teach this and you doing the same thing? You didn't call Barnabas and all of them to start separating and eating away from the others and not behaving in this way. If we present our bodies as a daily sacrifice to death, well, we are told to do this. We are told by the Word of God. And I'll leave these for you to study for next week, the ones that I have there. We will continue on in this. Romans 7 and 13, 24 through 25, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 16, the sixth chapter of Romans. Let's finish what's on this, what I have on my page right now, though, these other two. Romans 7 and 13, he says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. Sin was in him working death by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, now that he started to gain the knowledge of God, the inner man had to crucify the outer man. All that he counted as gain, now he has to count it as loss. Because all that was in my mind, I have to have a transformation of mind. The way I used to think, I have to die to that way of thinking. My desires, because James said that's where wars come from, is the desires in your members. So not that what I want now, I have to start thinking of what Christ wants. I have to die. That's the only way that he can live, is that I die. I have to die to myself. That's why it says mortify. That means kill, put to death. That's what a mortician was. You know, heard of morticians. Yeah. We have to mortify the body. We have to, that just like Job said, he had made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon a woman to lust after. These are things that you have to start doing. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You have to start buffeting your body. You have to bring it into subjection. You have to die to self. That I want to do, I can't do. That I do, the old man don't want to do. That going to church tonight, he didn't want to go. He wanted to go with my friends and go do this. But I need to do that, though. That inner man is getting stronger. And it's going to be easier to follow that inner man if I get him stronger and stronger. But if I yield to these things, whichever one I face will become stronger. You have two natures in you. Whichever nature you feed the most, it will be strong. If you don't ever read, if you don't ever pray, and then if you don't practice the presence of God, walking that God's with you, and that everything that you do, you bring in Christ with you, and that you follow in Him. If you don't live in that mind, let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that everything you do is to please God, that you are ambassador, you are apostle of Jesus Christ, you were sent by Him. You walk, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, rose up to walk in the newness of life. Well, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, and it was pictured as, in those days, they say the Romans, if you was guilty of something, killed somebody, it's like, you know, having a dead body. You know, just like, they're taking a rope or something and tying somebody to your back, a dead body. And you dragging that along all day. But just think, this, I'm trying to open your mind now, but just think that within you yourself, you had power to give that body life, though. That if you kept giving that body, if you stopped at this nightclub and gave that body something to drink, if you stopped around where people were talking filthy or sinful language, that body would start coming to life. If you took that body to see any kind of movies, that body would get stronger, that body would be possessed by another spirit. But you would be getting weaker because you're not going to where it's strengthening you. You're strengthening that dead man that's on you. When you're dead in Christ, you got to not feed that man that stuff. Now, yet Paul was asking the question, who shall deliver me from the body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Because the things I do, as I look at it, and as I keep doing it, I see that I'm a sinner, and that's what I do is sin. So I will have to continually each day offer up that sacrifice. I got to offer my body as a sacrifice each day. It's a living sacrifice. And I got to will it so. And the object of my faith is Jesus Christ. That's my focus. I'm keeping watching Jesus Christ. I'm trying to please Him. And nothing I go through that I'm going to turn my sight off Him. I'll be able to walk on water if I keep my eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. But this body is going to try to hold me back. With that, we will close for the night. I hope I didn't get past you on some of that.